Thank you, Owen and Adeline, for that. Welcome to our Candlelight Communion service. We're glad you're here. And we just came to worship the King, didn't we? That's what we're here to do. I want to share with you a couple scripture, then we're going to pray and sing a song a cappella here. But in Matthew 1:23, we read something that the prophet said that's reiterated in the New Testament. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I love this scripture from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, talking about Emmanuel, God with us. This is what the writer of Hebrews take on him being God with us is, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm thankful we have a high priest who knows where we've been, who knows what we feel, and that's how he's able to touch and mend and restore the things that we go through and help us in the midst of our chaos. I'm thankful for Jesus. How about you? Can we stand together? Let's invite the presence of the Lord in here. Then I invite you to sing a Christmas carol with me. Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for Christmas. I thank you that you sent your Son, your only begotten Son. Hallelujah. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you that you did that because of your love. I pray you'd grace us with your presence today. Have your way in the midst of this service. Lord, speak to hearts. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing it one more time. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Thank you.
unclean, the unholy, for the broken, the unworthy you came. Jesus, you came for the wounded, for the hurting, for the lost, and for the lonely you came. Jesus, you came. Oh, come all ye faithful, bow before our Savior. Come, let us adore the one who came for us. Glory in the highest, praise the name of Jesus, our King has come. For the outcast, the defeated, for the weary, for the weakest, you came. Jesus, you came. Oh, come on, you faithful, bow before our Savior. Come, let us adore the one who came for us. Glory in the highest, praise the name of Jesus, our King has come. For the
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
You are the first, you go before, you are the last, Lord, you're the encore, your name's in lights for all to see, the starry hosts declare your glory. Glory in the highest, glory in the highest, glory in the highest. Apart from you, there is no God, light of the world, the one. You are my glory, glory in the highest, glory in the highest, glory in the highest. Apart from you, there is no God, light of the world, the bright and morning star. Your name will shine for all to see. You are the one. You are my glory. No one else.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, all the earth, hallelujah, is full of your glory. Thank you, Jesus, my Savior, my King, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the risen King. Hallelujah to my risen King. Hallelujah to my coming King. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. That's why we're here tonight. Amen. To bring him glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At this point in our service, we want to invite you to take communion with us. One of the powerful things about communion is that this ordinance of the church is meant to keep us in perspective of things. It helps us keep the cross in view where Jesus offered himself for every one of us. It helps us keep our commitment that we made when we came to follow Christ. We came to follow him till we die, am I right? It helps us keep in view the grace by which all of us have been invited to be reconciled with Jesus. It also helps us keep in perspective the power of the sacrifice of our Savior. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for his blood that he shed on Calvary that saved a wretch like me. Praise God. I didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. Praise the Lord. And so I want our those who are going to be serving the communion to go ahead and come and take their places. This is how we're going to do communion in this service. The last couple times we've come and stood across the front. But I'm going to have you come into the middle aisles here, those two center aisles, and walk down here, get the elements, and then go back up the outside aisles there, back to your seat. That's how we'll serve communion, and then I'll prompt you upon partaking in the articles of our communion tonight. But at our church here, we practice open communion. That means you don't have to be a member of our church to partake in the Lord's Supper with us. The only requirements come in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that each person must examine their heart and make sure that they're in a right standing with God by grace through faith. I'm thankful that we can have that standing made right with him. Praise the Lord. So I invite you to stand. If you'd like to take communion, begin to come down those middle aisles. We're going to sing, "What Can Wash Away My Sins? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus," as you gather your elements here. And then when you get back to your seats, we'll go ahead and partake the communion. Let's go with G, I guess, probably. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can
seen, but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood.
Hallelujah. Let's sing it in worship one more time.
And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, let's just take a moment and thank Him for the cross, for the blood that He shed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know that famous song, Mary, Did You Know? There's a lot of questions that they ask in that song. And the answer to a lot of them is she did know a lot of those things. She knew that her son was the Son of God. She knew that he would die. And she knew that he would give his life. I wonder when Jesus came to that age when he realized just what his situation was going to end up being. But he did it anyway. Amen. He loved us. Hallelujah. Let me read a scripture here, and then we'll partake in the bread and then the cup. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Amen. Brother Rick Cruz, Dad, would you pray over the bread tonight? Go ahead and eat of the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Brother Steve, would you ask the blessing over the juice tonight? Amen. You may drink the cup. Hallelujah. Can you just lift your hands and lift your heart and give him praise? Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, you're so good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. God, you commended your love toward us in that regard. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated tonight. Brother Rolls is going to come and read a passage from the book of John, chapter 1. When he's finished reading there's going to be several who are ushers who are going to come and begin to light your candles. I ask that you would, if you're on the outer edge, you get your candle lit, you share your light with the person next to you and so on, and fill the row up with light. That's what we're called to do, isn't it? To share the light. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Rolls, come.
Reading from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Story of amazing love. vast entrance for a king. Entered into shame, stepped into your pain, illumination the world would see. The grace that you would need, a light that never ceases. When time had come, salvation arrived. His name is Jesus. To the King, give your worries to the King. Lay your burdens. He's the hope your heart needs. Bring all you are before the King. From a stable to his throne, he has sought the lost, he has paid your cost, and in his wonder, majesty, he's made a home for you, making all things new to the King.
You glad you can bring everything you are to the King? Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. tonight. Did you enjoy that choir right there? I thought they did a great job. Thank you, choir. That was so anointed and timely. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. I'm going to take just a few moments here to share with you something about the king, and then we'll invite some of the a trio to come back up, and I believe they're going to reprise that song as we close the service with a time of worship around the altar. But Luke chapter 1, verse 33, if you'd like to stand for the reading of that one scripture, you can. Hallelujah. The Lord's been here tonight, hasn't he? Verse 33 of Luke chapter 1, this is part of a promise that the angel made to Mary. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I want to just talk to you for just a few minutes here that he's still the king. Praise the Lord. He's still the king. You may be seated. In our world today, there's roughly 26 or so monarchies, which is a government headed by a king or a queen. And throughout history, there have been many more governments that were ran in that manner. There have been thousands of kings, thousands of queens that have sat upon thousands of thrones. Some have had reigns of prosperity. Some have had reigns of terror. Some, their reigns were short-lived. Others, they reigned for years upon years and decades. But all of those kings and queens have something in common. They've all died, or they lost power by some sort of a coup. Their kingdoms, no matter how stable they seemed, were fragile and fell victim to time or to being overthrown. Kingdoms in this world pass away. Kingdoms in this world don't last forever. Every empire that's ever existed has fallen eventually. I remember even people that have been given titles like the King of Pop or the King of Rock. When Michael Jackson had his they had his funeral, they played the hymn "We Shall See the King" as people marched down the aisle. But you know what? He wasn't the king for very long. Elvis was called the King of Rock, I think, and Elvis didn't last forever either. See, no matter how talented you are, no matter how much power you may have, it will not last. Your throne will not last forever. But there's one king that has stood the test of time. He stood on his throne throughout every season, throughout every century, throughout every millennium. Praise the Lord. He's the supreme ruler of this world and this universe. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. So if you'll give me just a few short minutes, I want to talk to you about that king, okay? First thing about him, he's the king that loved us too much to leave us in our sin. I'm thankful for his love. There's a song that the group down here sings. It's a Christmas song. You've heard it, I'm sure. It says, "How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that's torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me?" Then they say, "Only one did that for me." The king, amen, who loved us too much to leave us where we were. You know, if God tolerated every sin in our day, there'd be no need for him to send Jesus to earth. There is going to be a day when everyone pays the price and the penalty for their sin that's not been forgiven by the Savior. There's a place where we go if we die in sin, and we know what that place is. We go to hell. But Jesus came so he could build a bridge for us to escape that awful place of eternity in flames. I'm thankful that he loved us too much to leave us the way we are. Praise the way we were. There's a scripture. He became sin who knew no sin. He did it because he loved you. He did it because he loved me. Praise the Lord. You know, there's always politicians who want people to see them in a positive light. So they kiss babies and they get among the people for a while until they finally get the vote and get the position. But you know what? No president has ever called me and said, "Thank you, Kenneth Cruz, for your vote." They never do. No mayor, no governor, nobody has ever said thank you when I voted for them. All they care about is that, hey, I made it to this position. Now I can work my agenda. But church, Jesus was different. Amen. He was a king that wasn't elected. He has supreme power throughout every age. Yet he humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a man. Oh, the word wrapped in flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, the king of kings, said, I'm not going to leave them the way they are. I'm going to go down where they are, make myself like them, subject myself to their pain and suffering. Why? Because I love them. He's the king who conquered death, hell, and the grave. You know, Alexander the Great conquered the entire world that was there when he was alive, yet his own people poisoned him. Napoleon Bonaparte was disgusted with himself because there was one tiny army that he could not seem to conquer. Even in Greek mythology, one of their greatest warriors, Achilles, he had one weak spot, and that weak spot, his heel, cost him his life. See, nobody ever conquered everything in the natural, let alone in the spiritual, but there was a king who died. But he rose again. I mean, I could stop there and preach for a minute. He died and he rose again, and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So you know, from Adam until today, death destroys every life. Everyone in this building has been touched by death. Not personally, but in your family or someone you love. They've passed on from this life to the other side of eternity. And some, you know, they've said that you are dying from the very first moment you begin to breathe, you are on your way to decline. But church, let me remind you, Jesus came so when you live on this earth, you can live an abundant life. That even if death is what takes us out of here, we still have a reason for living, because he conquered everything that sin can do to us. And the only way that would be possible was because he beat death. How many of you know Jesus beat death? And through Christ, death has no sting, and the grave is swallowed up in victory. Praise the Lord. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He's the king that invites us to reign with him throughout eternity. How many of you have ever gotten an invitation from a congressman to come sit down next to him and cast a vote for something that they were about to vote on in their session? Nobody. How many of you have ever been asked by the president whether or not he should veto or go ahead and let a bill pass through? Nobody. See, so our common dignitaries, politicians, and even kings, they don't invite anyone to come sit on their throne with them. They enjoy the power all to themselves. It just doesn't happen. But Jesus, in the New Testament, we are told he invites us to come and reign with him. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:11 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. But there's that phrase there. We shall also reign with him. Revelation 20:6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is going to abdicate the throne and give the power to Kenneth Cruz, or give the power to Bradley Hoffman, or give the power to Philip Carr. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you're going to come and dwell with me throughout eternity. I made a place for you. I've invited you to come up higher with me. I'm thankful that he's the king that does that. He's the king that's going to come back again. Woo! Praise the Lord. That's what Christmas is about, to remind us he came the first time so he can come the second time. Just as John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus to come and minister among the people back there 2,000 years ago, we are the church and we are preparing the way for the second coming of the King of Kings to come. But this time he's not coming to die. He's coming, amen, to show his power and authority. Praise the Lord. He's coming again. Don't you believe it? I believe it with all my heart. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he would smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back. Hallelujah. I want to share a poem with you. Eternity ago, when all was dark, the Word of God broke through. All that was dark then became light, and the King said, I'm coming soon. Then evil seemed to prevail with Adam's first dreadful bite, but God promised to crush sin's head, and the King said, I'll come to fight. The years progressed, and so did death, and darkness seemed to cover the earth, but that all changed on the Christmas night that the earth witnessed the King's birth. For several years, don't think it weird, the King walked hand in hand with man. The King of creation came down to the nations and said, this was always my plan. The blind man saw and the deaf man heard. The lame man leapt and praised. Yet no one seemed aware of who the King was. They all wondered, amazed. Finally, the dreadful day, the day the King would lay his life down. But as hard as he tried, the devil realized, you can never take the King's crown. So many men partook that day in the shedding of his innocent blood. The King hung there, crying and dying. The King said, it is done. One day of silence, day two the same, but the third with the rising of the sun. The King arose, conquering hell and grave. The King said, I have won. And now we look for the sky to spread and listen for the trumpet's tune. For the King has said over and over, we know it's true, I am coming soon. Hallelujah. He's coming back. The King is the King that's coming back. And Jesus is still the King. If our music can come tonight. He's also the King that wants us to bring all we can, whatever we can, to Him. Praise the Lord. He wants you to bring your worship. He wants you to bring your song. He wants you to bring your praise. But He also wants you to bring your worries. He also wants you to bring your brokenness. He also wants you to bring your dysfunction, your addiction, your struggles, your sicknesses, your diseases, anything that you care about, He wants you to bring it to Him. At the beginning of this service, I read to you several names of Jesus: Emmanuel, God with us, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus has a name for every need that you have. And all that He brings to the table for us, I want you to get this, everything He brings to the table for us, He does want us to bring some things to Him. And definitely He desires our worship. Why? He knows what worship does in our hearts and in our lives. When I worship Him, something changes inside of me. When I lift Him up and bring Him glory, there's a light that begins to shine in somebody else's life. And they're drawn to that. He's worthy of our worship. Can I hear an amen? But He also invites us to bring every care. Cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. That word care means anxieties, worries, concerns. Whatever you have need of, bring it to Him. He invites us to bring our weariness to Him. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and and are heavy laden. I mean, you want my burdens, Lord? Yeah. Because I want to give you rest in place of your burden. He invites us to bring our brokenness to Him. As He said, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, He will not despise. There's one scripture in Isaiah, and then it's written again in the Gospels. It says, a bruised reed will He not break. Have you ever seen a reed by a creek? You know what I'm talking about, a reed? It's that tall, slender weed that has that brown thing. It looks like a hot dog, cattails, I guess we call them that. That's what they are, aren't they? He said, if you bring a bent one of those, and He's talking symbolically, He said, I'm not going to despise it. I'm not going to break it. You bring that to me, and I'll show you how I can mend it, how I can heal it. Have you ever brought brokenness to the King? I mean, imagine if I bought my wife a gift and it broke on the way home from the store, I wouldn't bring that to her. I'd go and get her something else. Yet when I have brokenness inside of me, Jesus doesn't say, wait till it's mended. Bring it all to me right now. Why? I'll show you what I can make out of your brokenness. Amen. Your broken spirit, your broken heart, your broken mind, your broken body, your broken soul, your broken family, your broken relationships, you bring it to Jesus. He says, bring it to the King. And what will I do with it? This is all I've got. Bring it to me, because I know exactly how to put the pieces back together and bring beauty from the ashes. Come on. Give you a reason to praise instead of a reason to mourn. I can give you a masterpiece out of your mess. Praise God. So bring it to Him tonight. Whatever you have, let's stand together. This might be a good time to, if you can keep your candle from burning somebody, and when we come up here to the front to worship, that's fine. But if you need to blow it out and you want to have both hands to raise, that's fine too. But I want us to gather around the front if you can and you're able. And I want us just to lift our hands and worship the Lord. And as you do that, if you've got something that's broken you want to bring to Him, will you do that tonight and experience healing? This service, it was about light and seeing light and finding hope. Praise the Lord. And that's how we find light. We bring our brokenness to Him, and He puts it all together. Who'll be the first to come? Amen. And begin to just lead the way. Let's spend a few moments around the altars worshiping the Lord as they sing that song again. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to bring You my brokenness. I'm going to bring You my struggle. I'm going to bring You my pain and my suffering, and I'm going to let You turn it into Your glory and into Your praise. Hallelujah.
Give Your worries.
Hallelujah.
Your heart needs. Bring all.
Oh, just give Him praise. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, if tonight you haven't experienced that light and you want to give your heart to the Lord, right now is a good time. Oh, thank You, Jesus. He came to save you from your sin and to give you a reason for hope and joy. Hallelujah.
Bring all You are.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's just sit and spend some time worshiping the Lord.
majesty.
His majesty.